Which? Well, you brought your Bibles with you this morning?
Yes.
I see you brought yourself. That's good. Well, this is a busy time of the year for many, many people. I'm sure people that are watching online, I know some families are at home because of various things going on, and so. But we want to welcome family and friends that are watching online today, and we thank God for you and your support. And wherever you are, you can get your notes out, have a coffee on us. And we have people watching from different parts of Canada and some even out of the country. So let's go to our Bibles today in James chapter 1, verse 2. This is topics on faith study, and I want to go back to something that we talked about a couple times ago, and we want to go to James chapter 1, verse 2, and our title of our message this morning is The Power of Patience, James chapter 1, verse 2. I'll start reading. You can follow along. Hopefully we'll get the notes up there for you. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I propose to say this morning that it's the doer of the Word of God that makes the faith complete, and it makes our faith work and gets the results. So it's a doer of God's Word. People who, you can sing about the Word, you can talk about it and so on, but it's the one that does the Word, puts the Word into practice, they'll make things work. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus by your Holy Spirit to inspire every listener and every believer today that they will begin to be a doer of the Word. I thank you that every one of them has that ability. We pray that everyone will have a clear mind, that they'll put aside every thought that would affect their thinking today, that you would get the thought over to them into their minds and down over in their spirit to be a person of faith and a person that will stand strong in their walk today. And we thank you for the Word, the anointed Word that breaks every yoke, will cause people to be free, to be at peace, and to learn that you are the God of the universe, and there is no other God than you. We pray that people will be saved, and people who are hearing will hear to be healed, and people to be filled with the Spirit, and those that are downcast and depressed will be lifted up. We thank you by the anointed Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to introduce you to this topic and to say that, have you ever noticed in that verse of Scripture, James chapter 1, verse 2, that it says, my brethren, so he is talking to the church, he's not talking to the world. This letter was written by James, the Lord's brother, and he knew a few things. Of course, Jesus was his brother, and also the fact that he walked close and was able to be a pastor and work with people. And he was a pastor there in Jerusalem, one of the first churches. You know, the first church, the first Christian church, was Jewish believers, people who, Jesus, the Bible says that in James, John 1, that he came to his own people. God sent him to his own people to bring the message of salvation that fulfilled the prophets wrote about him. He said, brethren, count it all joy. And that's what we're going to do this morning. I tried to do that a little bit, help you to count it as joy. No matter what's going on, we count it as joy. And now I'm going to mention a little bit things about it later. It says, when you fall into diverse temptation, that word fall is not, doesn't mean when you trip over something. But that word fall in that verse of Scripture means when you come up against or when you confront something. And notice it says diverse temptations. The word diverse means various, different kinds. How many people know that there's different kinds of trouble that you can experience? You might be experiencing some stress this year or this time of the year. There's financial stresses. There's some family things. I know around Christmas time, holidays, there might be some conflicts going on. Or maybe something you didn't think that, you thought maybe you were over something. Now you have to visit with family, and you thought you got over it. Now you got another situation. Now it could be a family problem. Could be a relational problem with your aunt and uncle, your parents. And you'll have to go have turkey with them. And so, you could run into relationship difficulties during this time. So there is all kinds of trouble. As I mentioned, finances is a huge one, family, marriages. And it could be just things that are impending or things that are just happening that kind of boiling in the side that it's stressing you, but it's there. It's not out in the open. Divers temptations. Now that word temptation doesn't mean that what we think about. The word temptation there talks about different kinds of hardships, different kinds of trials, various temptations. Those are tests. Everybody say tests. Yes. We can stay at home and call ourselves a good Christian, but when you have to work with people that are hard and give you a difficult time, you'll find out how good of a Christian you really are. Anybody ever notice that besides me? You could call yourself, man, I can live just as good as a Christian at home. No, you won't. It's when you work with hard people. God called us to work with all kinds of people, and not only our favorite people. A lot of people say, well, I just want to work with white people. I want to work with just native people. I want to just work with the Finnish people because they're so-and-so. But God calls us to work with all kinds of people. Bible says in heaven there's going to be all kinds of people from various nations. Not just the First Nations, but all nations. Amen? So we have all kinds of trials, all kinds of people. So every kind of people brings their own kinds of trials to you. We all have our own situations that we bring to other people. You don't come perfect. We come with different hang-ups maybe. So he says, knowing this, also, he said, the diverse temptation, test and trial, knowing this, so there's something you got to know when you're going through a trial. He says, knowing this, when you're going through the trial, that the trying of your faith, or the test, the trial, or the testing of your faith, our faith will be tested in each one of those various areas I just mentioned to you. Do you really believe in loving your neighbor? Well, you will be tested when you have trouble in church working with other people in church. A lot of people leave churches because they can't get along because they don't like somebody in something. The Bible says faith, love overcomes and all sins. Sometimes we have to overlook the defects of character of other people. We have to overlook the difficulties of what people give. Somebody might rub you the wrong way. I don't know, but I always tell Pastor Ken, we always joke about this, and we do once in a while. We rub each other the wrong way at times. And so, but we love each other. We made it a point that no matter what happens, we love each other. We're going to work together. And so you have to decide that's what you're going to do. Anyway, I don't know how we got on that, but it's not in my notes, so somebody must have needed that. So that's free. We don't have to charge you for that. So we have to understand that our faith, that's what it is, our faith will be challenged. What you believe in, if you really, if you believe in something, you're going to have challenges that will stop you from going on. I always tell the students, and I've been teaching at the college since 2000. My wife and I taught a program. We still teach there. I'm going back after Christmas. And I teach a program called, what is it called? Personal Career Development. I had to check myself there for a second. It's a course designed to help every student, no matter who, what age they are. A lot of times I get the toughest students that finish high school. John sends them all over to me when he finishes it with them. And different ones that work in the schools. So I get all the tough kids that have different issues, and I begin to, they ask me to run the program at the school so that I can teach them how to find careers for their lives. So we take them through a gamut of exercises, insightful things that will help them develop some introspective, find out what they feel and think about life, what their values are. And so we take them through a gamut of exercises to find out some things about who they are. And I always tell them, pick a job, pick something you love to do. Find something you love to do, and you won't work a day in your life. Because when you have something you love to do, you would do it for free. I know we were asked as pastors and ministers, would you do what you're doing for free today? I have to say I've done this for free a lot of times, what I'm doing. I've had to do it for free. Otherwise, who's going to do it? God called me to this. See, my vocation is not something that was attracted because there was prestige in it, or because there was money in it, or because there's power in it. And God called me as a mission to this part of the city, to this part of the world, to start this type of church. This is called a Word of Faith church. There's nothing like it. From here to Toronto or maybe Winnipeg, there's a couple of churches there, but there's very few churches like this. And the emphasis is the Word of God, and that's the main emphasis of Faith City Church, is teaching the Word. Jesus made that an emphasis. He went around teaching. Most people think he went around first healing. No, he went around teaching first. That was his main objective. And every minister gift, his first objective is teach the Word. And, you know, of course, being a teacher, I'm always a teacher at heart. And God called me to be a teacher. I didn't believe it at first, but God began to confirm that he called me. I wanted to be a full-time professor at the university. But I had a spiritual experience when I was at Lickett at the University of Manitoba while driving after school in my car, and Jesus Christ came into my car and spoke to me and said to me, I called you to the ministry. And that's why I didn't quit. I had all kinds of trouble when I came to the city of Thunder Bay. There was nobody backing me. I didn't have any money. I didn't know anybody. I knew people would doubt me right away. And I took the job because nobody else wanted to. And we had different ones that would try a church like this. Every one of them failed except me. They didn't fail totally. Some of you were in those churches and are here today, so they didn't fail totally. But I stayed because I believe God called me. And we told our Bible school students last week and the week before that when God calls you, it's usually you'll have an encounter with God some way, that God will show you that he's called you. So again, that's all extra. Again, I'm not going to charge for that as well. I just want to give you some extra things here this morning. I think I need to tell you, but maybe somebody needed to hear that this morning on television or whatever. But bless you wherever you are. So notice it says that the trying of your faith. So our faith, what we believe in, you know, your faith is what you believe in. And what you believe in is what you heard all your life. Amen. Everything you believe now, sociology tells us that we are socialized into believing and having values by who surrounds us. They impart to us our value system. And so whatever you believe, whatever church you grew up in or whoever affected you spiritually, those are the ones that made you believe what you believe today. At the age of 24 years old, I made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. I was following what we call the red path in school. At that time, it was politically charged in some of our classes and the atmosphere around the political scene in Canada. And I wanted to be a lawyer at first. I thought maybe I should become a lawyer and help my people, because I was really fascinated by all the talks of the land claims and stuff like that during my school years in the 70s, early 70s and early 80s. And I wanted to go into that stream. But you know, of course, God's going to have something to say about what you do. So, again, I don't know why I said that, but, you know, God determines different things. He calls us, and he helps us to determine what we should do in our lives. And, of course, you know, I don't know if you ever read all the Bible, but I read the Bible. I'm coming to the last few days of my Bible reading of this year. So since 1998, my wife and I read the Bible every night together. From 1998, so Miss Leonard Hagen bought us a, in Bible school, she bought us a Bible, a And so to all the students, there was about 2,200 of us Bible school students in the Bible, Rhema Bible Training Center that year. And every one of us got Bibles as a gift. So each year we reread the Bible together. Sometimes you might miss a week, but you try to catch up. And sometimes, you know, you don't always catch up exactly. But last few days ago, I had to catch up 3 days. And that was like brutal, especially when you're tired at night. But anyway, to read the Bible throughout the year. And so it's a good exercise. So if you want a good spiritual exercise to learn the Bible this year, I would say go and do that. Amen. Get a good Bible that you can read. Some Bibles are more accurate than other ones. Of course, some of them are just more paraphrased. So go ahead and do that. So the trying of your faith, you will have a conflict in terms of believing. You know, the enemy wants you, he wants to dissuade you from walking your belief system.
That's right.
So as I mentioned to you, whoever taught you from the beginning had that influence on you. So I made a decision to follow Jesus. I was watching television one night. I was doing homework in my, I was over here on Monroe Street, my friend and I, Ron Linklater, who actually became a teacher as well. We were at home. I was at home alone that night and had the television on and just for company and doing. I was doing homework and I heard music in the next room, and I came and I saw a Billy Graham crusade. I didn't know about that at that point. And so I listened and I said, man, you know, something in my heart stirred. They were singing some songs, some hymns, and I looked at it and Billy Graham came on. He said a few words. And at that time, I was a very searching person. I was looking for something. And I began to sit down and I listened to the man. And he said, whoever you are, if you would just give Jesus Christ a chance to come in your life, and if you try different things, come ask him. And he'll come in your heart right there. And I remember praying the prayer of salvation. I didn't understand what it was, but I said, Jesus, I need you. And I invited Christ into my life. I said, Jesus, I bow to you, and I need a Savior. And I remember going to church. I was working in the community. I was doing a lot of works in the community. I was being very successful as a student and putting my name in different places and working in the community. And but I was still on the inside. I was missing something else. I was doing all kinds of things in the community. But Jesus came into my life. I got saved. I got born again. I didn't know what it was. I began to cry. And so after that point, I began to learn different things. But I got challenged on every area where I thought I believed what I believed. So it says the trying of your faith works patience. So your faith and patience have to go together. You ever notice this? Look at that verse again. It says in there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's tests and trials, pressures. Knowing this, this is what you have to know, that the trying of your faith work at patience. In other words, you see how important patience it is for your belief system. How faith and patience are tied together. See, you need patience for your faith to keep going. You might believe in something, but you have to develop your spirit so that you can develop patience, the fruit. Jesus called them, God called them, the fruit of patience. I want to talk to you about how faith and patience work together so that you can obtain the promises of God. So if you ever notice that faith and patience work together, your faith needs patience as a companion to accomplish your goals of whatever faith goals that you have. Faith alone doesn't get the job done. You need to have patience. So we need the ability to wait sometimes a long time for our faith to pull into manifestations the promises of God. And so patience helps us to have that access and take possession of what promises that God gives us. What is patience, somebody asks? So W.E. Vine, New Testament Words, Expository Dictionary, you can look at that up. He says patience is the endurance, meaning the ability to stand where you are no matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, no matter what other people say. It means you stand unwavering and unchanging. That's what patience is. It's the quality of not surrendering to circumstances or the quality of not succumbing to under difficult trials and testings. Strong's Concordance says this. It says it's cheerful or hopeful endurance. When you're patient, you have to have a smile on your face. And you're going to endure. The Bible says that love, one of the things about love, love is patient. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses, I think it's chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. You look at the Amplified Bible, and it says that patience there suffers long. You know, when we're patient, we're able to suffer a long time and be happy about it at the same time, knowing that you're going to get to where you're supposed to go. And so it's continuing to be able to suffer long without weakening. So when you're patient, you don't get weaker. When something takes a long time to come in, you don't give out and quit. You begin to stand even stronger because you believe something. If you truly, truly believe something, you will stand as long as it takes. I said, if you truly believe something, you will stand as long as it takes because you believe it's true. So you stick with the word and see that the promises come to pass in your life. And that's why you could have a smile on your face, because you know a faith in God and His word will never fail. God's word is unchanging. It never will lose its power. So we hang on to the word, and God hangs on to us. Psalm 91:16 says, Him that honors me, I will honor him. So God says, if you stick with the word, I will stick with you. So we're able to suffer long. Patient is being remaining the same no matter what happens. No matter how the situation changes, you still remain the same. Just like God's unchanging word, you stay the same. We call faith and patience the power twins. If there's ever twins in the Bible, faith and patience are twins. You can't see one without the other. It has to go together. So, as we said, faith and patience, we have to understand that in that verse of Scripture, you know, I read that so many times. I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know, I read that verse of Scripture so many times in my life, and for the first time in my life, I began to notice that faith and patience in that verse of Scripture were always there together. And yet I saw it in other Bible verses, but not this one. That faith and patience are married. They go together. You cannot have faith and stay strong without having patience. So, and we said, what is patience? So that we saw the ability to abide under pressure no matter what may come your way, if you're patient. The Scripture says that the devil will bring fiery trials to people. You know, pressure will you know, when you heat, the heat's on, when pressure's there, the Bible talks about when your faith is under pressure, it's like you're under fire. And when the heat's on in your life, whatever's in your spirit will come out. When trials and troubles come your way and the heat's on, whatever you believe in, whatever what's inside of you will come outside, will come out to the open. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, no matter what you stored there, maybe 20 years ago, 5 years ago, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So the pressure's on, whatever comes out is what your faith is saying. Your mouth tells what you really believe about things when the pressure's on. So we need to see that in Scripture. So when we talk about pressure, naturally speaking, we talk about when we talk about patience, in your mind, the picture in people's mind normally goes like this. Patience is somebody just, you know, passively waiting. But that's not what the Bible picture gives us about patience. Patience in the Scriptures is not somebody who is passively waiting around to see what happens, see what may or may not happen. Patience in the Scriptures tells us that We are actively working. We're excitable. We're expectant of favorable outcomes when we believe God. So faith always knows the outcome. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. That's a NLT says that, the New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence. Same with, if you have confidence, it's because you have faith in something. So faith and confidence are the same thing. When you have faith, you have confidence. And sometimes some people say, he's cocky. I just have faith. I believe. I believe something. I believe in myself more than I ever did before. Not because I'm something, because I believe that God made me something, that he strengthened me. And as I told you before, I had an experience with Jesus. He said to me, you can be successful. I make you successful in anything you do. Anything you touch will be successful. That's what the Lord told me. And began to show me that any one of us can do the same. We can be successful wherever we are. Faith always knows and sees the answer because it bases its outcome on the living word of God. The NIV says patience is cheerful endurance. Enduring, we have to endure trials with cheerfulness because we know God's outcome. So notice it says there, count it all joy. So it's not joyful going through trials. Carnal people will act how they feel. They'll tell you what they think in their mind. They say things like, I'll give you a piece of my mind. See, that's giving somebody a piece of your mind is not really, impressive to God. We know what your mind is like. We know what all carnal minds are like. It's really nothing to God. See, who told you you're supposed to think what you think? Because God says you need to think my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are much higher than your ways. He said, I can see, I can make rivers in the desert, and I can make a desert, into streams of water. I can make things happen. So people who are carnal, who are just fleshly or just natural, they react on how they feel and what they think all the time. So they're not very patient at times. So we need to exercise patience in those difficult times. Spiritual people act on what they believe, not on the sense knowledge evidence they're experiencing. It says, count it all joy. As we mentioned, it's not joyful when you encounter trials. Carnal people can't do this because they're so incensed, full of their feeling, full of what they think about things. So if we begin to be spiritual, we have to see what God says about it. And we've got to act on what we believe and be patient that, faith always wins out because God's word never fails. So knowing knowledge is having power. You know what he says there? Knowing this, that's a trial of your faith. You have to know that when you're going through trials, you know that the enemy has come to steal, kill, destroy. He's come to destroy what you believe. Amen. When you're walking and believing in the Word of God, he's going to challenge you. He's going to put so much pressure on your life so that you will relent and give up. And that's the plan of the enemy, is to put so much pressure on you that you will walk away from what you believe. That's his job, is to put pressures on you. You know, Jesus said, one of the things that gets people offline is giving them so much trouble in life, afflictions, and the pressures of life. And Mark chapter 4 says, verse 19 over there, he says, the pressures of life will get people off course so that they'll quit and abandon their faith, shipwreck their faith, and begin to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I've noticed people who got born again, they'll come to God, and they get saved, and as soon as they have a little trouble, a little testing, they quit. And the Bible says they have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves. So we have to develop roots that go deep down into the love of God, that nothing will shake them from what they believe. Knowing this, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So, our faith and patience work together, as I mentioned to you. So you will be tested on every area of our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 26 and 28, that all of us who hear the word of God are going to be tested. Every one of us will be tested during these times under the pressure. Be patient. Begin to have that joyful expectation that God's word is going to turn out all the time. It's going to happen. So this patience works our faith. It perfects our faith. And so, you know, it tells us there when we have when we quit, it shows that our faith is small. We need to develop faith. Patience has a reward, it tells us in Scripture. Notice this in Hebrews 10, 35, 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Your confidence is your faith. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Your confidence is your faith. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your faith, which had a great recompense and reward. In other words, he says that it has great reward. For you have need of patience. For after you have done the will of God, you might have the promise. So we exercise our faith and wait a little bit longer. Well, how long do I have to wait? Wait as long as it takes. You know, some people, they'll ask God for prayer. They say, God, I need such and such, and I want it by 2 months. I want it by 30 days or 1 week. If I don't get healed in 10 hours, I'm banning this thing. See, some people, they put a timeline with God. They put a timeline with God, and they say, I'm going to, this is it. So God doesn't live in your timeline. His time is nothing for God. It's like 1,000 years, one day is like 1,000 years. So it doesn't matter. So cast not away your confidence. So time, everybody say time. Tries faith. So it tries your faith and patience. Time will try your patience. Let's see how patient you really are. You take grandma somewhere. She says, I want to go in the bank for 10 minutes. And she takes a little bit more than 10 minutes. And you say, oh, man, I got to be here. I got to be there. Come on, grandma, where are you? And you're a nice grandma. Please, come on now. Grandma, where are you? You know? And then all of a sudden, you're getting so mad. You know? I don't know about you, but I have 3 girls in my house, and I have to wait lots. And you have to wait a long time sometimes for the bathroom. And all of them are being busy. All your bathrooms are being busy. So there is a time passage when you have to have patience. You're waiting for an answer to manifest. After you've done the will of God, the Scripture says, you can have the promise. You have to be cheerful. You have to endure as you go along. Just because God gives us a promise, it's not automatic. We're not going to get things right away. James 1:4 says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, entire, wanting nothing. Patience, at the end of the time, when you're patient, it says you'll want nothing. That means you won't lack anything. If you're patient enough, wait enough long, some people get married quick because they said, oh, I can't find a husband. I can't find a wife. I can't find this. I can't find that. And they get into trouble because they mastermind their own thing. So, Bible school student, be quiet about that. Okay. Joshua and Caleb were patient to what belonged to them. They took what was promised to them. God promised Joshua and Caleb something a long time ago. It took many, many years for it to manifest. You know, sometimes we know God asks us to do something, we think it's going to happen in just 2 years. Sometimes God will show you something, it's going to take a whole lifetime for it to accomplish. Moses, I sat in my office with Pastor Ken for mentorship this week. We sat down and we talked about some things about Joseph. How many remember Joseph? He had a dream. God spoke to Joseph, and God gave him a calling, and he became a real strong political man. You know how many people know that God calls people to the political office? I said, God calls people to the political office, and he anoints them. And God will even help an unbelieving prime minister or president if we pray.
Amen.
It's in the Bible, folks. People get all bent out of shape because Trump was there. It don't matter. If you pray, God will change the heart of a man. If we pray, you know, and people get all messed up. I don't know what Bible they're reading. What kind of church are you going to? Learn to read the Bible. God will change a nation because people in that nation pray. The Bible said, blessed is a nation whose God the Lord is. That's in the psalmist. He wrote that. I didn't write it. So, well, praise God. Hebrews 6:12 says this, that ye be not slothful. You know what a sloth is? How many have ever seen a sloth? One person. Two. I went to a thing there, and I didn't know what a sloth was. I looked and said, what is that animal, man? It's just kind of moving so slow. It was upside down. You know, it was like a long time, I wasn't looking at the sloth, and said, and that's what some of you guys are like, spiritual, I'm coming. Pastor, I'm coming. Come on. That's what it's like. So that's why I got strong patience. You know, that's why we have to have, you know, so the Bible gives that picture of you and me. Come on now. He says, be not slothful. Don't be so slow. You know, sloth, can be also associated with laziness. You can just have lazy faith. Oh, yeah, you know. You can't have lazy faith. You got to be vibrant and cheerful and smile when they're having a trial. Smile, say, how's everything going? Oh, great, praise God. Just like the lady, right? The lady whose son had died, remember? In the, I think it's 2 Kings 4 or somewhere on there. Shunammite woman? Anybody know where the Shunammite woman was from? He's from Longlang 58. Shunammite woman. Seriously. Or is it from Gnugaming? Huh? No? But the Shunammite woman, she got a son at an old, very old age, right? But she couldn't have babies. The prophet said, next year about this time you can have a baby. He said, oh, please, prophet, don't mess with me. So in 1 year time, she had a baby, and the baby died. The young child was in the field and died at some point. I don't know how old the child was, maybe 4 years old or something. And she said, I got to go see the prophet. And so she's walking to the prophet. The boy's dead at home. She went to see the prophet. And the prophet was, she was coming. He said, who's that coming over there? She said, well, that looks like that Shunammite woman. So the prophet said, ask her, what's happening? Is anything wrong? And she's coming. The boy's dead. She said, what's going on? How's everything? She said, everything's fine. The boy's dead. She has faith that the prophet of God, the man of God, could do something for her. Huh? So we need to say the same thing when trials are happening in our lives. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. I'm patient. Everything's fine. And most people just will rehearse the whole thing over to the next 4 or 5 guys that they meet this Christmas of how bad they're having it. Somebody says to you, how's everything going? Oh, man, everything's fine. I'm talking spiritual. Everything's great, praise God. And the devil says, you're lying. No, I'm not lying. I'm talking the word of God. I'm saying what the word says. Amen. I'm speaking a new language. And people don't understand the spiritual language of faith. Faith says, I got it now. How are you feeling there with that? Oh, they know you've been sick. No, I'm great, praise God. That's the language of faith. Faith always speaks the outcome. It always speaks to positive. Oh, everything's going great. Everything's great. Lift up your hands. Say, everything's going great. Say, thank God. Everything's going great. See, we have to speak the language of faith. And most people don't speak that way. And whenever they have trials, they let you know in great detail. In great detail. Let me tell you how. Let me just rehearse one more time what happened to me. How bad it's been. Huh? So, you know, what can you say about people like that? We've all been there sometime. We're growing, we're growing. Amen. Be not slothful, but be followers of them who, through faith and patience, the power twins, inherit the promises. It's just not faith alone, but patience as well. You might believe something and believe something, but you got to stand strong and be faithful and be persistent and relentless in your efforts to obtain the promises of God. Amen. The Bible says that's what Abraham did. God promised Abraham a child. The man is 70 years old, 90 years old, and 100 years old. You don't start a family when you're 100 years old. God says, I'm going to give you a child. And you know, God was taking his time, and he's an old man. He said, how can I enjoy my husband? That woman said, he's an old man. I don't know if he can get anything up over here. Huh? Guy's old. He's old. He's old. Huh? Now keep your mind in the right place, because that's just what you know. The Bible is very explicit. Huh? And they're trying to say, they're telling this man of God. I mean, God tells. That's why Sarah laughed. Eh? He said, you're gonna have a son with your husband. And she said, what? And she laughed because the angel told her, you guys are gonna have a child. And she laughed. And then God says, Why did your wife laugh? Told Abraham. And she says, I'm not laughing. See, we're like that when God tells us something and we see something so impossible. How can it happen? Because miracles are usually something impossible. And God worked with that. He said, you can't do this. Now, when I was a boy, I didn't realize that God would take me through what I went through. I didn't know. See, God wants to take you through to something different than what you're experiencing right now. He wants to take you to a higher level, to a new place. Glory to God. And when God shows you something, don't laugh at it. Embrace it. You know, you say, well, how can I ever have that? I'm old. I don't have an education. I don't have this. I don't have that. But God has ways past finding out, and he'll help you. So this is not when we're having patience, this is not a sprint race of the faith walk. This is a walk and a run of endurance. We're going to last until we see the answer. Until it comes, we're going to stay till the end. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse whatever it says here, Hebrews 12:1, seeing that we also are compassed about or encircled about with great cloud of witnesses. You know, there's people in heaven now that know you when you were here as a Christian. There's people in heaven right now that are cheering you on. The Bible says there's a grandstand in heaven right now, and they're cheering you on. My mom and dad are in the grandstand right now. Come on, Roma. Come on, Roma. You can do it. Woo! Come on. Come on. Glory to God. I've known friends of mine who died and went to heaven. Some of them didn't die but went to heaven and saw Jesus. And they saw their parents there. Their parents are no longer 70 years old. They're like in their age 30. And I remember my friend, you know, one of my Bible school students, and he took his dad out. I mentioned to you, he took his dad up into the air. His dad didn't want to go flying, and he bugged his dad for a while. His dad went up in the flight with him, and he died up there. And he felt so bad that his dad died for years. And so God took him to heaven, and he saw his dad, and his dad told him, please don't be sad anymore. He said, I'm great. Enjoy your life. There's people in heaven. You know, that's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we don't weep like the rest of the world weeps that has no hope in God. Because we will see our loved ones on the other side who believed in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus promised us. They're more alive than you and me right now. I remember my dad says to me, he says, Roma, how will I know mom went up there? Will I be able to find mom? I said, oh yeah, they know where you're going to be. There'll be somebody there to take you. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. It got quiet suddenly. Started talking about heaven. Somebody said, who wants to go to heaven? Who wants to go to heaven right now? Everybody says, nobody want to open their hands. The guy says, you mean you don't want to go to heaven? He says, well, not right now. You want to go to heaven? Yeah. So, see, we also come past the world with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every encumbrance, every weight. So some of you that have a little extra weight, you have to lay it aside. Because it's heavy to take you up. No, I'm just kidding. You talk about weights and sins. Okay, weights and sins. Weights are just things that bog you down spiritually. You know, there's things that are not sin. There are things that are not sin. They're just weights that they keep you away from God. You can't run away, race with that. I know that when they do, the swimming and everything, they shave every little hair off and put on plastic suits and they said, okay, we're going to race here. You know, how many watch sports like that? Yeah? So, you know, they do everything, right? To get every weight off so that they can have that millisecond of little split second of win to win. Shave it off. So, I mean, the time. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily beset us or trips us up. Let us run with patience, with endurance. That somebody won't quit the race that is set before us. How many understand that you have your own race to run? Amen. You have your own race to run today, not somebody else's race. Don't run somebody else's race. Don't run mama's race. Don't run dad's race. Don't run your town's race. Don't run your reserve or community's race. Run your own race. Do what God tells you to do. Amen. All right? Don't let people put pressure on you. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen. And be happy. At the end of your life, when they say, when they ask people, so what would you say at the end of your life when you're dying? People say, I should have been at Walmart more. Huh? I should have ate at the Hoyto more often. No. They don't say stuff like that. They said, you know, things like, I wish I would spend more time with my loved ones. At the end. Glory to God. Well, I know you've been patient enough. Is there any singers in the house? Any musicians? Come on up right now. Any dancers in the house? Any jiggers in the house? Hallelujah. Come on up, guys. Glory to God. Thank you. Everybody's good? Everybody's patient with me? You patient with each other? Okay, you're going to try. Bible says, don't be slothful. Hallelujah. Well, maybe should keep you another 5 minutes. Praise God. Just close your eyes for a second. Just think about this week is going to be a busy week. Maybe perhaps some of you. Just want you to exercise a little extra patience. Just see the answer. Just say, God, I'm gonna be patient this week. I'm gonna exercise, even if I maybe get disturbed by certain relatives, friends. I'm gonna exercise extra patience. I'm gonna do the love of God. I'm gonna exercise the love that's in my heart. Thank you for this time to look at your word this morning, that I'm going to wait. I'm not going to rush things. I'm not going to run ahead of you. I'm just going to wait on the promises. I'm going to act like the promises are coming to pass. I'm going to do whatever it takes while the answer's coming. I know the answer's coming because your word says it's true. There's something ahead for me. I have a great future. And I'm looking gleefully, laughing up my sleeve, so to speak, even in time of trouble, that this is not the end. This thing will pass, and I will get where I'm supposed to go to. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask if somebody in here today that you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is an opportunity that's been afforded to you right now, that you can come to Jesus today, that you can come to God and say, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to come to you. Yes, I know God. I know about God. I know the things of God. I've done religious things. Yes, I prayed. I've done different things. But I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ personally, publicly, like you said. If you would confess me publicly before the sinners, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven, Jesus said. If you take up your cross and follow me, you'll find your life. Is there anybody here in this room and watching on live stream this morning that says, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? This is an opportunity, the best gift you can ever give yourself and your family, to get born again, to get saved. I want to ask you in 3 seconds, if that's you, you want to get born again, you want to come to Jesus Christ, you want to give your life to God, you want to have peace with God. If that's you today, see, I don't know if I'm saved, I don't know if I'm born again, and I need to know, and I want to know, I want to get saved today. I'm looking around right now at the sound of three. I'm going to ask you, lift up your hand and say, I want to get saved. 1, 2, 3. Lift up that hand. Say, I want to get saved. I want to get born again. I want to come to Jesus Christ. If that's you, there's somebody in this room right now. God's talking to you. I want to come to God. I want to be born again. Is that you? Everybody stand up, please. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand, please. If you didn't lift your hand, you should have lifted your hand, you came with somebody, and you need some help, you can come right now. Get out of your chair and stand right here with me. I want to pray with you right now. I need to get saved. I want to come to Jesus Christ. I've been away from Jesus Christ. I was saved one time, but now I need to come to God. I need to be saved. There's somebody here like that. I want to give you a chance to come one more time. I want to get saved. I want to come to God. I need to get born again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I give you praise, Lord, for your goodness. Your mercy endures forever and ever. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise for those that have raised their hands, those that are watching on television, those that have been watching live stream, that you're there right now. If you say this prayer, Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you're God's only Son, that you were sent to this world to die for my sins. And you took the penalty upon the cross. You took this penalty of sin. And you died spiritually and physically. And then you went to hell for me for 3 days. And on the third day, God raised you from hell, raised you back up. Now you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe that. The Bible said, if I believe that, silly notion that someone gets saved by believing that, I will be born again. That's foolishness to some people, the Bible says, but to us, it is salvation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Lift your hand up, say, thank God. Say, I'm patient. I'm kind. Everything's going to be okay. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you have a wonderful day. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
In reply, echoing their joyous strains. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Would the gladsome tide